You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Covering the Miami Heat from deep in the paint to beyond the arc and always inside the 305. This is Red Hot Hoops. Now, here's Alex Dono and Hollywood.
It's another Red Hot Hoops, an Odyssey podcast, your newest destination for Miami Heat news and opinions. Dono alongside Hollywood. Hollywood, our last show was about whether it's too early to hit the panic button. Three dubs later, I think we can say the answer to that question was a resounding yes. It was too early then to hit the panic button.
Yeah, man, it was. What a great game last night, by the way. The Suns game was tremendous. You took care of business against Charlotte. That's what you had to do. That's, you know, what we expect these guys to do. And they took care of that one, Dono. But the Suns win last night was a very pleasant surprise. That's a very tough Phoenix team. And, you know, the Heat were down big in that game. They come back. Jimmy Butler was fantastic. You know, I think it's funny. Jimmy doesn't get the credit that the other superstars get, right?
Yeah.
To me, he's on that level. There's very few guys in the NBA that can really take over a game. And, you know, I think he proved that certainly in the playoffs last year. He continues to prove it this year. But I just don't think Jimmy gets that fair level of credit. You know what I mean?
And that was like the perfect Jimmy Butler game as well, because, you know, we can agree and most people would agree he is indeed a bona fide superstar in this league, but he's not the type of superstar that just wants to go off for 40 every night, right? Like he doesn't just want to fill up the points part of his box score. He wants to fill up, you know, the double-double, triple-double areas of his box score. He had 16 points, 13 rebounds, 7 assists in the game. So 3 assists shy of a triple-double, and he put the punctuation on that game kind of in a trademark old school Miami Heat fashion, right? Yeah, obviously the Heat had to hit some big buckets and a couple of clutch free throws by Bam to get that 113-112 lead in the first place. But the punctuation on that game was a Jimmy Butler block on Devin Booker. It was the defensive play that put the exclamation point on that win. I would venture to say Jimmy probably felt happier about his performance last night than in some of the wins where he goes off for 30, 40 points.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Yeah, that block was at the end of the game was incredible. And that, by the way, is about as lethal a shooter as we have in the league in Devin Booker. So that's a tough cover there. He is a tremendous offensive player. A great play by Jimmy at the end of that game. And, you know, I hope, you know, if this Heat team, you know, makes some sort of run here, I hope Jimmy gets the respect that he's due. You know what I mean? I think that, you know, yeah, we talk about superstars in the league, right? And we always debate who's a top 5, who's a top 10, who's this, who's that. Jimmy is right up there, right? And I don't, you know, I don't know if he's been in the top 5, but he's a top 10 guy in this league. So again, I there's a very few amount of players in this league that can really take over a game and make the impact that he can make. I thought that was, again, very evidenced in game 6 against the Celtics. He almost willed him to game 7. He almost willed him through that one in the playoffs last year. But I you know, I really hope that if this season continues going down a good path here, which it has been over the last 3 games, now the schedule gets tougher. You're going to hit the road. you know, you're dealing with some injuries here. We actually just saw Omer Yurtseven is going to be missing for a while here. So we just saw that actually came out today. So, you know, Tyler Hero still dealing with an injury. I hope that this team can get healthy, Alex, because I think you're going to need a full complement of guys when you start to head out on the road here.
And honestly, I think, the two biggest obstacles that I see to the Heat being, you know, a competitor for a deep playoff run, health is definitely one of those things. They did work through and deal with a lot of injuries last season, but I don't want that happening 2 years in a row. And they do have some older veteran players who are going to miss some time inevitably throughout the year. And then the other thing is we're going to talk about later in this episode, I feel like the lack of a true power forward, but I think that's something that Riley is going to find a way to address by the trade deadline. But let's talk a little bit more about this feel-good win against the Suns. To me, and it's a young season, but most complete dub of the year so far for the Heat. This game had a playoff feel to it. My heart was in my throat for really the fun. Well, I mean, from the 8-minute point, I kind of thought the game was over in Phoenix's favor. In fact, yeah, I was watching the Valley Sports Sun broadcast and I was listening to Eric Reed. And I pulled this up again to get the exact quote, but 8 minutes left, Phoenix takes a 13-point lead. And then Eric Reed says, right now the Suns are just having their way with Miami. And then the Heat stormed back. And honestly, the final 2:23 of this basketball game, the most riveting 2.5 minutes of this Heat season so far, I went back and it's actually kind of cool on YouTube. A few different accounts have like posted the final 2.5 minutes of the game. And I went back and watched it this morning. So you had Caleb Martin, my God, he hits 5 threes last night. He hits a big three to pull Miami within one after they were down by 13 points. Then the Heat had this amazing defensive sequence where they end up forcing a 24-second violation. Kyle Lowry makes a huge three to give the Heat the lead. I don't think they had led since like the early moments of the game. You had about, you know, probably a half dozen lead changes in the final 2 minutes. Bam Adebayo gets to the free throw line. He hits a couple of clutch free throws to give the Heat the 113-112 lead. And then you had the Jimmy Butler block on Devin Booker that we talked about. I mean, that was as riveting of a final 2.5 minutes as I've seen all year.
Yeah. And, you know, I think you're going to get a lot of these games that come down to the stretch like this. And Kyle Lowry, you know, look, for all the criticism that he's gotten this season, I think is fantastic in the clutch. You know, he is going to be one of the big closers for the Heat this year, you know, assuming that, again, he can stay out there and can continue to play, you know, the amount of minutes that he's playing, 38 minutes last night. So he's certainly racking up the minutes. I was very pleased with Bam Adebayo. I think that was more of the performance that, you know, we're hoping to get out of Bam. Seven guys in double figures, though. That's probably, you know, what it's going to take for this team. It's going to take those sorts of efforts. Max Strus, by the way, amazingly enough, guy who's been scoring for the Heat all season, is what was the only guy that didn't get into to double figures in that game. But I just look for more of these kinds of efforts here, and you got to get led by your stars. Jimmy and Bam were fantastic, and Kyle Lowry, I think, can continue to come up in the clutch and make plays like he did last night. And, you know, he's very tough when he drives to the basket as well late in these games. But I like what I saw last night. It was a well-rounded effort from this team. And Alex, if you want to make the playoffs, you want to, you know, make a run in the playoffs, you're going to have to win games like this at home.
Yeah,
that's the bottom line. And you got to get into a decent position in this very difficult Eastern Conference, and got to find a way to win these ones at home. The Heat have been doing it.
I feel like every time and that could be you and me, or even the collective we, anybody who watches Heat basketball, every time we start to criticize Bam Adebayo, he'll come out and have the type of game where he just wants to shut us up. Like, oh, you guys said I wasn't scoring enough. You guys said I wasn't aggressive enough. Yeah, so, you know, really outside of Bam, who scored 30 points, the scoring was pretty well balanced after that. You talked about seven guys in double figures, had a bunch of guys right around the 16, 15-point range. But Adebayo shoots 9 for 18. Gets to the free throw line 14 times and hits 12 of 14, including the two clutch free throws that ultimately gave the Heat the win. But also, you're reminded of the type of athleticism that Adebayo as a big man brings to the table. So one of the big buckets that he hit down the stretch run, he put on a spin move that a guy his size is just not supposed to physically be able to do unless you're playing after hours at the YMCA or something. Like, he really has no business completing that spin move and hitting the bucket the way that he did in an actual NBA game. So, you know, I don't know if maybe the dynamic of Hero not being around just makes Bam feels like he's got more of a green light to be aggressive and score points, but this dynamic with him and Jimmy and Kyle, it's working right now. Like, they had a big three on the floor last night.
Well, let's address the elephant in the room here. Tyler Hero came off the bench last year.
Yeah.
And he's made the move to the starting lineup. I think Tyler probably needs to continue to start here, but you know, that second unit, it's still, you know, it's a critical piece, and he would come in last year and, you know, it would come off that second unit and played exceptionally well, obviously. I don't know, man. I think there's something to be said for the way that this team has been playing without him in the lineup right now. And, you know, I'm not so sure that, you know, that the team isn't, you know, maybe they're better with him coming off the bench. Maybe they're better getting a boost on that second unit. You know, Tyler is a guy that is a high volume offensive player. Right. So that needs to be taken into consideration. Whereas, you know, Max Strus, who's kind of in the Tyler Hero role this year, coming off the bench a lot of times, you know, Alex, he's a little bit of a less of a volume type player. And, you know, there's a lot of mouths to feed in that starting lineup when you got, you know, Jimmy, Kyle, Bam and Tyler. And there's a lot of mouths to feed there. So I wonder if it's something they look at, you know. You can't risk alienating this guy, which, you know, if he wants to start, he wants to start, right? I mean, what can you do there? We've seen that with players, you know, in the NBA, they just better for them to start. They go through the regular routine and all that stuff. So I don't know, but I think it's definitely something worth mentioning here, as they've looked pretty good with Bam. You know, can't discount that performance, man. That was huge.
You're right about Hero, though, because I think being a starter was something that they promised him before the season started, right? Now, a lot of guys who have played Heat basketball the last, you know, 15 years, I mean, you can go even the last 25 years, right, or more since Pat Riley initially came aboard the franchise, you know, making sacrifices is part of being a member of the Miami Heat, right? Guys have been making sacrifices since 95 when Riley came down here, so... You know, at the end of the day, I'm sure that there have been players in the recent past, whether it be Tyler last year, whether it be Duncan at times, who are not happy to be on the bench. But, you know, you have to wonder, does Spoelstra start to kind of schmooze him a little bit and maybe sort of start hinting at the idea that, hey, maybe you return into that sixth man of the year form. That might be the way forward for us. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. No question.
Yeah, you know, money starts to come into play. They obviously, you know, they paid Tyler, but look, the Heat have shown with Duncan Robinson that they're not in the business of making friends, right? They have been all over the place with Duncan's minutes. Good to see him get some more play here and there. But I think it's an interesting situation that they're in, and I'm very intrigued to see how does this team look when Tyler Hero comes back. Does he start to, you know, suck up a lot of the looks and stuff that Bam's been getting, that, you know, Jimmy's been getting? You know, let's see how that dynamic, you know, impacts this team. And you know, do you make a change? You bring Tyler back and say, hey, you know, we'd love you to come off the bench, get that sixth man of the year award deal here. You can start a whole trophy cabinet full of six man of the year. I don't know.
Hanging the banners in the roof of whatever we're calling the arena now.
But yeah, it's not a crazy idea, though, because again, you know, when he's in that starting lineup, there's a lot of offensive firepower, and we have seen that it doesn't always mesh in the way that you want it to. And it feels like the team over the last three games is starting to mesh.
Well, and speaking of players coming back, what happens when Victor Oladipo is finally ready to come out of cryo freeze, right? And, you know, it sounds like they're not in any rush with him, because when you've got an injury history like his, you err on the side of caution always. But at some point, I would imagine Oladipo is going to be ready to reintegrate. He did it relatively quickly last year when he first started playing again in March, but there were there were two or three games where it didn't really mesh. I can't remember the opponents now at this point because it's been so long. But I remember when Depot first came back last year, the first few games we were kind of like, should we even be doing this? Like, maybe we should just shut him down for the year. But then he ended up at the end of the regular season and in the playoffs having a big time impact. So that's something to think about as well, that whenever Oladipo's ready to play again, that's almost going to be like you've made a trade acquisition without really actually making one.
Big if, though, man. Big if. You know, that's unfortunately been the thing with Victor Oladipo throughout his career. I hope, you know, we talked about him in the first episode. I hope that he can be that guy, come in, you know, come off the bench and give you 10, 12 points a night. That would be a huge boost for this team. But, you know, I'm going to kind of temper my expectations with him right now, because I'm a little bit disappointed we haven't seen him up to this point.
Well, when we come back, there's a new trade rumor, and right away my radar goes up when we're talking about a potential trade between the Heat and the Knicks that gets Knicks fans a little too excited. Right there, the red flags go up for me. Keep it locked right here to Red Hot Hoops.